Greetings of grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, we've had a lot of long readings already this morning. I shouldn't say a lot of them. We've had one long reading, and now we're going to have another long reading. I know we had a baptism and communion to do as well, so I don't plan on preaching a long time. Of course, maybe I shouldn't say that because you never know what happens. But anyway, I'm going to read a long text this morning, and I hope by the grace of God to be able to proclaim a message even from a text like this. I mean, it speaks for itself, which is why I say that. But, and that would be, again, from the Gospel of John, the 11th chapter. By the way, that's kind of a heads up for you all. You need to be listening as we read this text. Don't just wait for me to read it and then hear what I have to say. Listen to the Word, especially, well, all of the Word, but this is a long reading, so if you have a Bible in front of you, pick it up and follow along if that helps you to pay attention. John chapter 11, we're going to be reading from verse 1 through verse 45. Again, that's the Gospel of John chapter 11. And we're going to read from verse 1 through verse 45. And it's a powerful story. John chapter 11, we'll begin reading from verse 1, and we read as follows in the name of our Lord. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that, he saith to his disciples, Let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in a day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go, that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit, Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, Let us also go, that we may die with him. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was near unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off, which is about 2 miles. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, She goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in his spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have you laid him? They say unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold how he loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore again, groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, Take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto the Lord, By this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus said unto her, Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus saith unto them, Loose him and let him go. And many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. Amen. Father, sanctify us in the truth, for your word is indeed the truth. Amen. The accounts that are related for us in the Gospel of John are quite stirring. Last week, of course, we looked at the blind man and the healing of the blind man and considered all that took place there and how he was not only healed in his blindness physically, but he was healed in his spiritual blindness as well. He was able to see who the Son of God was. The 11th chapter of the Gospel of John really just simply spells out for us another aspect of Jesus. He's not simply just a healer. He is actually who he said he is. He is the Son of God, because this was questioned. In the 10th chapter of this gospel, this was a question. This was a debate that began to arise among the people, the Pharisees and the Jews of that day. Is this really the Christ? Is this the Messiah? Is this the one who is to come? Or do we, look for another? And Jesus all along tells them that I am he, I'm the one. If you don't believe me and what I say to you, well, simply observe what I do. And on that basis, you can see that I am indeed who I say who I am. And so when John puts this record in here, he puts it for that same reason as well. That you and I might believe. That you and I, who are the reader and the hearer of this text this morning, might have our eyes opened once again to see exactly what it means now to be in Christ, what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ in this world, and who this man is. Who is this man, Jesus, who comes into this world and does all of these powerful miracles? Jesus could have left from the place where he was at, immediately went over to the bed of Lazarus and laid his hand upon him, or simply spoken the word, and Lazarus would have lived at that point. He would have never died. But he actually purposely waits for a while. He wasn't that far away. He could have covered that distance rather quickly and got to the side of Lazarus's bed, but he doesn't. And he does this for great intent, which John actually records for us. He says, This sickness is not unto death, but that the Son of God might be glorified. Or rather, he says, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified. And I wonder for us, what does that mean for you this morning when you talk about the glory of God? What is the glory of God? How do you define that in your mind? Is that just some high spiritual Bible word that you talk about a little bit but really don't have quite any understanding of it? What is he saying here? Lazarus is dead or is dying. And Jesus says, well, actually, this sickness is not unto death, but yeah, it is. Because Lazarus died. Correct? I mean, in the text that we read here, Lazarus died. In fact, he was long enough in the grave that the decomposing of the body had already begun. Jesus says, this sickness is not unto death. That the glory of God might be shown to the people who would witness the miracle, as well as to you and I as well. You really know what he's talking about here? He's just simply saying that God might be recognized. He says this is simply for the fact that when Jesus would enter and do what we read about already with the raising of Lazarus, God would be recognized. And the Son of Man would be recognized as well and given their proper due, their glory. We often use terms like that, don't we? Well, we got to do these things, or whatever we do, to God be the glory. Do we understand what we're saying when you say, to God be the glory? We have a hymn we sing as well. I think the hymn writer actually explains it well enough. To God be the glory. Great things he hath done. That is why we are here this morning. That God would be glorified. And sometimes we pray in our prayers along these lines that he would glorify himself. In fact, Jesus prays this as well. Glorify your name. So that your name would be held high and up, so that people would be drawn simply to the one who has redeemed them and made them his own. This is our Savior that we're talking about this morning. This is the one who has come now to rescue the world, as it were, from its blindness and from its illness. We have received a sickness. A sickness that is unto death. But in this account, we are going to see that our sickness is going to be healed. This is done in order that God may be glorified. Do you realize that Jesus says this over and over, especially in the Gospel of John? What I do, I don't do for me. I do for the sake of the Father. I do that the Father may be glorified. And do you realize, and I don't mean to get off on a tangent on this, but we in our lives, as we live out our lives in this world, do what we do to the glory of God the Father. Which is what Paul actually instructs us when he tells us to do. If you're a laborer, well, you do that as unto the Lord. If you're whatever you do in life, I don't need to make a list for you this morning. Do it as unto the Lord. And Christ here is the example of that. So they wait. They wait, and Jesus says, well, let's go to Judea. And if you remember, as we went through chapters, we didn't really go through them, but as I commented on chapters 8 and 9 and 10, in the end of chapter 8 and also in chapter 10, both times there was these Jews who wanted to stone Jesus. They wanted to put him to death. And so the disciples are alarmed. Why would we go back to Judea where these people are trying to kill you? And Jesus makes a very interesting statement. Are there not 12 hours in a day? In the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not. I have come here to do the work of my Father. What you are trying to advise me to do is to flee to the darkness. I will walk in the light of the Father, is what Christ says. And actually it extends even beyond that, because Christ would say, I am the light of this world. And we talked about this a little bit last time, but do you realize that you and I are now still the torch bearers of that light? We are the ones who go off into this world exhibiting or shining the light of the glory of the gospel of Jesus Christ to this world. So therefore, we must always, always walk in the light of Jesus Christ. We must find ourselves dwelling in that place at all times and in no other place. Are there not 12 hours in a day? If any man walk in the day, he doesn't stumble. But if he doesn't walk in the day, he stumbles because there's no light in him. And then he says, our friend's sleeping, let's go wake him up. And the disciples don't understand as well. They say, well, you know, if he's sleeping, that's perfect. I mean, sleep is good, right? If you got someone who's sick, you often tell them you need some rest. Go take a rest. And rest will help you to improve and get better, hopefully. But Jesus says, actually, Lazarus is dead. Lazarus is dead, and I'm glad I wasn't there for your sakes. That you may believe. Do you see how much John does that? He does that over and over again with great intent. That you might believe. He says, I am glad I wasn't there to actually heal him from that. Because for whatever reason, that wouldn't have been very impressive for them. But there's another thing that's taking place here as well. Jesus is about to show not only his disciples and Martha and Mary, but us, where true life comes from. He says, I'm not simply a healer. I'm not one who has come here to simply take away your blindness. I am your all in all. I am the resurrection and I am the life. And Paul understood this clearly, because he says we have been crucified with Christ and we have risen with him. He is everything. Everything. Which is all my job is to do, is stand up here and tell you about Jesus over and over again in a variety of ways, to simply bring to you over and over again the works and the miracles of Christ, and to assure you that if you are a believer and a follower of him, he will lead you onto everlasting life. In fact, already has, because he says, I am the resurrection and I am the life. If any man believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And you've heard those words recited over and over again at funerals I've done, because I read them, I think, at every funeral. Because this is the reality for us as believers in Christ. Martha understood to some degree as she came to meet Jesus. Because he says to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Do you believe this, Martha? How about the Marthas in this audience? Do you believe this? Yea, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, which is coming into the world. And he is about to demonstrate for her and for you and I just exactly what that means. He has come to bring us life. Martha, upon this confession, runs and finds Mary. And John had told us earlier, this is the same Mary that had anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with the hairs of her head. And that's actually recorded in the 12th chapter of the Gospel of John, her devotion to him. And Mary runs out the door in a haste, and the Jews that were around her, who were probably there perhaps as professional mourners, run with her while she's going to the grave to weep. And as they run toward the grave, they meet Jesus along the way. By the way, both Martha and Mary said the same thing to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, he would not have died." And I think it's very interesting what takes place here, because in verse 33, Jesus, upon confronting Martha, or Mary, and these Jews, and seeing all of the weeping and the mourning that is going on, is troubled. And actually, the Greek word that is used here has more of a connotation or a meaning of actually being angry inside. Jesus was angry. He was agitated. He was angry at what death had done to people, how much it had blinded them to the power of God. We look at these verses sometimes, and I don't know that it's wrong to do this, but we see this simply as Jesus being human. Because it says, Jesus wept. Where have you laid him? They said, Lord, come and see. And he weeps. And I think what he weeps over here, and I hate to use the word I think, but he weeps here because of the plight of humanity, how humanity had plunged itself into the realm of death. And death has such a grip on us that we can't find ourselves getting out from underneath it in any way, shape, or form. And this ticks off Jesus. He's angry, but he doesn't respond out of that anger toward these people at all. He's just simply moved inside at what he sees going on around him. The Jews make this statement, whoa, look how much he loved him, and he did. The scripture told us that already. He loved Martha and Mary and Lazarus. But it says, again, groaning in himself, he comes to the grave, being angry within himself, he comes to the grave. And says, take the stone away. Roll that stone away. And you can almost just hear the controlled anger in his voice. Get that stone out of there. Roll that thing off of there now. Well, Martha says, don't do that, Lord. He's going to stink already. He's been in there 4 days. And do you know what happens in 4 days? I already mentioned it. The body already begins to be eaten by worms. It's called decomposing or decaying. Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he has been dead 4 days. And he looks at her and says, said I not unto thee that thou wouldest, if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God? Back to verses 25 and 26. I am the resurrection and I am the life. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifts up his voice and offers a prayer that is a powerful testimony to you and I as we lift up our voices in prayer. Father, I know, I thank thee that you hear me. And I knew that you always hear me because of the people, though, which stand by, I say it, that they may believe that you have sent me. Jesus said this death of Lazarus, this sickness, was a sickness that would glorify the Father and the Son. And so when he had said this, he cries out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he does that with great intent, because the Son of God demonstrates here that he has power over death. Death can no longer hold us. It does not hold us in its clutch any longer. We have been rescued from that. Lazarus, come out of there. Dear listener, why would you dwell in the realm of death? Why do you find yourself running to the place of death? Open your eyes and see the one who screams into the realm of death and calls life out of there, takes us out of that place, and tells us that I am the resurrection, I am the life. If you believe in me, you will never die. You will never die. Your physical reality in this earth will cease to exist, but you will never die. Do you understand that? You will never cease to exist. You won't simply go off into oblivion somewhere. You will be alive forever. Whether you live or whether you die, Paul writes to the Romans, you are the Lord's. Jesus in another place says, God is not the God of the dead, he is the God of the living. Come out of there. And when he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes and a napkin around his face. And he says, loose him, unwind him, and let him go. You see, church, this is our duty. We are the ones who bring forth the powerful message of life and salvation to this world. That people who find themselves in the bonds and the clutches of death, under the wages of sin, may be rescued and set free. Many of the Jews who came with Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. Because that was the whole point of this miracle. Actually, Lazarus would be laid in a grave again. Perhaps Lazarus was like, well, why am I coming back out of here? It'd be much better to just stay in here, let my body decay and just be with the Lord. But this was a demonstration for all of us, a miracle for all of us, that we would recognize the futility of death. Death has no grip over me any longer. So that I'm able to run into the realm of death itself. As it comes to approach me, the angel of death, without any fear. Though I enter through the shadow, the realm of death, in this 23rd Psalm, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Do you realize that there's coming a day when that voice is going to shout again? You see, we see it in a story or an account here. But there's coming a day when all of the world will hear the shout of this voice. And it'll be loud, it'll be tremendous, it'll be magnificent. It'll be like sweet music to our ears when we hear this voice just boom across this universe and this world. Paul tells us in Thessalonians, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout. And the voice of the archangel and the trump of the Lord, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Because death has been vanquished. When Jesus screamed or yelled into that tomb and called Lazarus forth, he demonstrated something for us. Death is over. And we now simply just wait. We wait with longing for the day when that voice will shout. It may be sometime when we're just walking around here in this world in our earthly existence and it'll come. Wow. What a day. I can't. That's going to be amazing. As amazing as it was that Lazarus, upon hearing the command of the Lord, can you imagine when we hear that command? It's over, folks. It's time to come home. This whole existence is over. Let's roll it up, throw it away, and start over in a new heaven and in a new earth. You see, that's what we celebrate today. We celebrate that the light of the world has come into this world to bring light and life to all men. In the 12th chapter, and I better close, I don't have a watch to watch this morning, so the clock doesn't work, so that's my excuse. But you listen to in the 12th chapter, and I'll close. Again, going back to this believing, Jesus cried in the 44th verse of the 12th chapter. Jesus cried and said, "He that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me." And I picture him like shouting these words, because it says he cried. "And he that seeth me seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak." You see, we listen to the words of our Father. We may not understand death. We may not understand all of these things and how they all work themselves out in our lives, because we experience it in this world. But one thing we must understand: this man who cried out, "Lazarus, come forth," has given unto you and unto me and to all who believe in him everlasting life. Everlasting life. So when that shout comes, we run toward the shout, however that works. And it's coming. Trust me, Peter said, you know, you're going to have people out there saying, "No, you guys have been saying that for thousands of years. Nothing's happened." It's coming. It's coming. That shout will be here before you know it. And no longer will you have to listen to my voice preaching. You'll see it for yourself. May God be praised for his miraculous gift. Amen. We'll continue by singing 86.